Well, it's been a while since the last time I did one of these. But I'm back, because got some shit to say, because of what's going on with Brexit. Boris Johnson has prorogued Parliament, which is basically suspending all forms of debate up until Brexit, so he can pretty much do whatever he wants. He's got more or less free rein now to deliver no deal, which I should mention is catastrophic for the UK. I mean, for anyone who hasn't really been following the news about Brexit, basically what it means is that our economy will plummet. We will need to remake every single trade deal we have ever made. But because we are in a very weak trading position, we will have to accept the worst kind of shit. Namely, we'll have to really lower our food hygiene standards, which means importing stuff like chlorinated chicken from the US. We'll have to try and get trade deals with the fucking EU, who would hate us, so I'll go, well, there'll be medicine shortages. Realistically, there's a good chance that the NHS will be disbanded and we'll end up having an American system where you just pay companies through the nose to get your medication, and if you can't pay, you die. There's a good chance of that happening, just because we won't have the money. The ferry from Dover to Calais, which provides a lot of food for the UK, which is an island that doesn't produce a lot of food. That's not our main export or import. It's not our main export. The trucks that come across the English Channel, bringing food to the UK, they will have more trouble getting across. They'll be probably backed up all the way, miles down the road. There will be food shortages, there will be medicine shortages. You have people stockpiling for no deal, and now it's almost definite the no deal is going to happen. It's ridiculous. But no, the reason I wanted to talk about something today isn't because it isn't with just a message of despair about all this shit. Because as much as that appeals right now, as easy as it would be, given the fucking shit that's going on right now with the country I'm from and the country I love, the reason I'm not going to do all that is because, well, it's been done before. And as much as something I wouldn't mind going over again, realistically, I don't want to just repeat myself with this kind of thing. So my cat's just arrived, and so I will have a little break and then get him out of here and then continue. Yay, here's a depressing song. Right, I'm back. Yeah, couldn't get the cat out, so you hear any weird noises in the background, that's probably him. Anyway, right, the reason I wanted to do another episode of this is because I wanted not really to talk about how any of this suspension happened. Realistically, right, I'm currently not an expert on the very intricate specifications of UK politics, okay? I follow it very closely, but I don't understand, I don't have any historical context because I haven't been around that long, right? And so anything I could really offer up with regards to the current situation has already been done better by people who have literally spent their lives working in UK politics and are now 60, and will do a better job than me. So I'm not gonna try and add my voice to the chorus that's currently going on, because I don't really have anything to add. However, there is something I do think I can say that isn't being talked about enough, and I think that is the genius of the right. Now, obviously, as you probably figured out from a lot of what I do, I am more, as a person, much more to the left, much more left-leaning. I don't enjoy saying that kind of thing anymore, because, I mean, I've gone over my issues with the idea of political sides and the whole political spectrum, but as a person, my views are much more liberal than they are conservative, I think. we as a world, we're progressing. We need to go along with that progress. I'm very pro inclusivity, equality, choice, all that stuff. So as such, politicians like Boris Johnson, Donald Trump, absolutely do not represent my interests at all. But that doesn't prevent me from being impressed about how difficult they have made it to be able to do any damage to them. Now, but genuinely, if you want to see any evidence of this, right, just go on Twitter, search hashtag Brexit and try and find someone that has that in their username. Or Brexit and then the EU flat, then the Brexit, then the Union Jack emoji, right? You've got loads of these people, right, who've all got usernames like Tony the Leaver. What was the one? It's like Yay Brexit time with a photo of this guy's dog, right? It's very rarely actual people. I mean, some of it's bots as well, because obviously it is. But the real people who are there, they are borderline fanatics who are convinced that the fanatics are the people who are trying to remain in the EU. You get people, you have these, it's really weird, actually, when you see it. They are furiously angry and aggressively attack people on Twitter. And that's all they do. Their entire accounts are dedicated to attacking people who disagree with their wish to leave the EU. But then the second you ask them why they want to leave the EU, they clam up and fuck off. Occasionally you'll get an answer like, well, it's to take back control, despite the fact that that's not what we're doing. You'll get the odd one saying it's because they don't like the fact that all our laws are made by unelected officials. Almost all of our laws are made in the UK, by the UK, for the UK, and all the officials in the EU who do make regulations within the confines of the EU are elected. That's what the European elections are for. But that's the thing. I don't want to dwell on what they're saying. I want to consider why they're saying it. And that's the clever thing. The term brainwashed, bear with me, gets bandied around a lot nowadays, and it's very touchy, because it has been used as a buzzword. Usually both sides calling the other one brainwashed as a way of trying to, I have no idea what they're trying to achieve, okay? But, I mean, it might be related to the fact that people have figured out, and there's this thing that comes, sometimes get, it's a graphic that sometimes gets shared around online, which is the first step to making sure, to helping someone stop being brainwashed is to make sure they're aware that they have been, right? Stuff like that, But the brainwashing as such, it's not, as an idea, it's not necessarily, you know, being hypnotized by some tall German guy in a lab, and whatever stereotype is, I don't know. I think it's a Bond film about it, I haven't seen it in ages. But it's not that. It's not medical. It's the idea that something you don't understand is in your best interest, and therefore you need to support it. And that's what's going on with Brexit. It's the same thing that's going on with Trump, right? Mostly, both of those appeal to the working class, despite the fact that it's the working class that they're doing the most damage to. Brexit will be disastrous for everyone in the country. The upper class will be all right, mainly because it's them who want Brexit to happen, because they've already invested all their money in ways to make sure that the worse the UK gets, the more money they'll make. Middle classes will be all right. Worst comes to worst, most of them can move out of the country. But the people who really, really suffer is the workers, who don't necessarily have the money to pay for the increased prices of everything, while the value of the money they're getting plummets. Yet they're the ones who are ardently supporting this, because for them, the way it's been framed is that the people who want to remain in the EU, it's very well framed, this, isn't it? Those who want to remain in the EU are metropolitan elitists. They're the rich scum, whereas people like us, we're the ones who are supporting the little guy. Yeah, we're standing up for you. We're going to take Britain back from the French and the Germans and go back to supporting Britain's interests, which is you. And they don't take a minute to think about things. They don't even take a second to reflect on the fact
that the person who they are listening to tell them that is called, one of them, is called Jacob Rees-Mogg. And he has convinced himself that he's nobility. He actually pretends he's nobility. He lives in a castle with his ridiculously named children, frequently goes out in public wearing top hats. Someone describes him as looking like a haunted Victorian pencil, which is pretty accurate. He is the literal image of the English aristocracy, because that's what he wishes he is and projects himself as being. But no, he... Yeah, sure. Yeah, Jacob Rees-Mogg pretends he's the aristocracy, likes to imagine he is. I'm sure for a fact that he's looking out for the little guy. But that's the thing. They think he is. And that's how that works. They think... First off, they are angry, obviously. These things always come from anger. They have an anger regarding the fact that they feel like the system doesn't value them enough and is like pushing them down and keeping them from doing things or progressing anywhere. As you mentioned, the system there is capitalism. That's how capitalism works. But again, that's for a different time. This isn't me pushing my my personal philosophy. This is just ideas and observations. But there they go. Right, there you go. They feel like they're being stamped on, right? They're being held down, not allowed to progress, not allowed to evolve, not allowed to do anything. So they're angry, right? And what they're angry at is how things are. And when you're angry at how things are, you want things to change. But, hang on. Yeah, sorry. And when you're angry at how things are, you want things to change. But what do you want to change? Well, you're not entirely sure. Because realistically, you can't figure out what the root of your problems are, because no one can really do that. Every problem is multifaceted and very difficult to understand. And realistically, very few people understand it. And the other thing is, they are individual problems. Every single person has their own problems. Problems, right? But they see other people who are in similar situations and also have problems, and they go, okay, we've got the same problem. If we can figure out a solution, then we'll both be fine. So then you get this idea that all these people who are more working class, right, and in more disadvantaged as they started out, because, again, capitalism, they need to do is work together, right, because they now share a common interest, and that common interest is getting change that will help them. And it's been like this for ages. So what does the politician then do? The politician who has vested has vested political and financial interests in Brexit being as catastrophic as possible, well, he goes, all right, you know what? You know why you're like this? It's because of the EU. It isn't. Obviously it isn't. It never was. The EU has done nothing but good for them, okay? It's been increasing health and safety regulations, which, while it makes their jobs a bit more difficult, prevents them from being killed frequently. It has also invested a lot of money in the UK to help with their infrastructure. It makes laws that protect workers' rights. It does all of this shit that is fantastic for the worker, but because it doesn't see in an instant financial benefit, is not seen. So then the worker hears that the EU is the source of their problems. They go, oh, well, no. Hang on, that does make sense, because I don't like the French, and I don't like the Germans. We were at war with them, the Germans, ages ago, so they probably still hate us. And we don't know anything about the EU. It's all been happening. It's all happening behind closed doors, because we don't know what's going on. So that means, doesn't mean that we can't find out. It means that even if we try to find out, there's nothing. It's impossible to find out. I mean, That's disgusting. I can't believe this would happen. Why are we in here? And then the politician will go, yeah, I know. It's bad, isn't it? I'll tell you what. How about we leave? Can we do that? Oh, yeah, we can do that. You just need to vote. Having a referendum. If you vote to leave, I'll support you. What do you... Yeah. I mean, look, we're basically the same. You were born in... You were born in Slough. I was born relatively close in Buckinghamshire. Yes. But just down the road, you know. You went to school. I also went to school. What school did you go to? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went to Wheaton. Nice, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they both had teachers there, I guess. Yeah. Did your teachers also wear robes? Nah, forget that. But anyway, like, we're basically the same, right? I'll look out for you. You look out for me. I have vested personal interest in this going through. This will destroy your life. Scratch that last one. We're together. We're on the same page. That's what they'll say, and that's how I'll go. And then, eventually, if they do enough clever work and illegally targeted ads, including the whole football betting scam where they didn't even give out the payment at the end, right? If they do all that enough, they might even get the thing pushed through. If they need a bit of luck, like the other side being so lazily confident that they will win that they don't even do any fucking campaigning. But anyway, there you go. They get it through. But then the damage remains, because they now need to put the decision through, yet all that they've done is they've still got these people behind them. Now, every bad thing that happens with Brexit, the people who are behind them, because they can't be wrong. They can't do... If they're wrong, they know now that their lives have been destroyed. But they don't want that to happen. They don't want to accept that that's happened. And for a lot of them, they don't believe that that is what's happened. So all they do is they continue going. They continue down the route that they're going. They become angrier about us. They become more fanatic, and they keep going... Well, the only reason that Brexit isn't already benefiting me is because you have all these bloody leftists, you've got Jeremy Corbyn, you've got these bloody motherfuckers, oh yeah, what they're doing, right? They're preventing it from happening how it should happen. You know what we need? We need someone like Boris Johnson, who will represent my best interests, despite the fact that he is a proven liar, famously incompetent, terrible at his job, every single job he's ever had, was so lazy, as it was just a lazy liar when he was a journalist, was an unprepared dipshit when he was, but made that part of his shtick, tried to make himself lovable because he was unprepared, trying to be like, oh, well, I'm an honest politician due to the fact that it looks like I'm improvising, despite the fact that every single line he ever had was carefully tailored to create that image, right? He is cerebrally shite, he is. But either way, they've decided that person will represent their best interest, yeah. All right. He won't. But for them, he will. And if he doesn't, they have the power to do anything. So they feel like they've at least got power supporting him. So they do that, and they get angry on Twitter, but they also get angry in real life. And then they see it, because this is how politics works now, they see it realistically as a class war. It is for them, the working class, versus the elites who don't support Brexit because they know that it will prevent them from being so rich. Yeah. It'll prevent everyone from being so rich, apart from the richest. It was just going to increase the wage gap. But they've got this. They've got what they think, and they've got what they know. They think they know and all that. And if you look at the parallels with Trump, it's very, very similar. It's the working class who feel downtrodden, who feel like they can't do anything, who feel like their opportunities have been taken from them, who are worried also that people are going to take their guns, their precious, precious guns, which will protect them and not kill kids. Mm-hmm. They feel like all this, and they feel it's really worrying, it's really important that they get their views heard, and they need to press on forward and keep on marching. And so what they'll do is they'll support this person. Oh, look at this person. Look at this man who lives in a literal golden tower in central New York, who inherited all his wealth and is famously a bad businessman. The only good thing he ever did was making his name a brand. I bet he'll support my interests. I'm the little guy. I bet he looks out for me. Famously, yeah, he hates immigrant workers, but I'm not an immigrant. I was born right here in bum fuck it Arkansas. He'll look out for me. I'll vote for him. I'll get him through. And they do that, and then he's there, and then he's not helping them, really. I mean, he got a few coal miner jobs back here. He's made loads of regulation. He started flaunting loads of regulations and then getting rid of those regulations. There have been more jobs, but there were more jobs under Obama as well, right? He's not changing the flow of things. He's just doing it in a different way, which endangers the worker. He's doing it in a less sustainable, less responsible way. And in doing so, he is creating jobs that probably won't be around for that long. And he's also preventing people who also create jobs and work and do jobs from getting into the country. So he's not really helping at all. And then at the same time, he's destroying the environment, the country's reputation, the country's healthcare, all of that shit. So I think it's safe to say he's definitely being net negative here. But they love him. And again, it's the idea that they've got an unfiltered politician. After years of lying, we finally got someone who says what he means. Now, Boris Johnson, if you figure out his gimmick, you can see that actually he knows exactly what he's doing. He was never great at his job, but he always knew he didn't have to be, because he could just come off as a sort of... It's like that episode of The Simpsons, right? Where Homer Simpson joins the Naval Reserve, then during war games, accidentally destroys a submarine, and then gets surrounded in international waters by a bunch of angry people, and just turns around and goes, "But it's my first day!" And they all laugh it off. It's exactly that. So that's exactly what Johnson used to do. He was incompetent, he fucked up, and then just went... rhubarb, and I fucked up his hair, and everyone went, "Oh, Johnson, you know, would you like some tea?" And they drank the tea. Like, oh yeah, well, we all like the tea. You know what? This Boris Johnson's an alright guy. And they get stuck on the zip line and goes, "Oh, Britain, cunt." But yeah. So that's that. But with Trump, I'm honestly, I'm not sure if it's a gimmick. I don't think it is. I genuinely think he is actually thick as pig shit, but has just figured out that by being vocally thick as pig shit, and also, you know, the fascist chanting and the xenophobia and the racism specifically, and harassing women sexually, and the rape allegations and all that, if anything, they would think those things were helping him. All of them. The fact that he is at these campaign rallies, I'm doing inverted commas, you can't see him, campaign rallies, right, that are weirdly similar to certain other people who held rallies that ended with chanting things about getting rid of people of a certain race. Let's not look too much into that. There's definitely no other parallels. But anyway. But yeah, so I had these, people will go to these campaign rallies, not many, but the people who still support him are the fanatics. They'll always go, they'll always support him, they'll always help him out. They'll chant, send her back along with him. There you go, that's what it is. And that's how he does it. Gonna have to go now because someone else is coming. Bollocks. Yeah, that's pretty much all I had to say. But yes, before I go, actually, I had some user questions. So I'm gonna try and get those, and that's from last week's episode, where in a shocking change of minor events, I complained. Kind of raised a few issues and asked people what they thought about them, so we're going to try and figure out how to add those in.
Listen, Tom, I've been loving the podcast. It's been a much needed interruption in my daily routine. Breaks up the monotony of MMA and other things I've going on in my life. I've just got two requests. So far, it seemed to be like 99% politics and 1% sport. Maybe we can open it up just a bit, just a touch. Maybe 95% politics, because to be honest, it's brilliant what I've been hearing, but just need like a little bit of, you know, flavor of some other sport or what have you. And regarding the politics, we'd love to hear your thoughts on Bernie Sanders. Don't know if you know this, it's an American who's running for Democratic nomination for president. Anyway, love the show, take care, cheers.
All right, yes, so I guess this is from my friends, Aaron Englishson from England Town in England. He's the guy from Fighting With Myself podcast, which if you are listening to this podcast and you're not him, which is relatively unlikely to be honest, but on the off chance, I would definitely recommend checking that out. As I always say, if you like MMA, check it out. And if you don't like MMA, start liking MMA and then check it out. Great podcast. So with regards to the whole sport thing, yeah, I see what you mean. I tend to start to record episodes when there's something that I feel I really need to talk about. And to be honest, I don't get insanely wrapped up in sport in the same way I do about politics. Although if you're looking for sport, I know that Aaron specifically is not in any way a cricket fan. However, if you've got a spare 20 minutes or so, I'd recommend you check out the full test match highlights from the Ashes. Because England played Australia, because it's the Ashes, at Headingley, and it was arguably the greatest test match of all time. I mean, just absolutely heroic from Ben Stokes. So yeah, if you watch that, you never know, you could get into it. In terms of other sports stuff, Premier League's just restarted, which is good for me. Brighton not doing too poorly, not doing incredibly because it's Brighton, but still looking like we could be right for promotion. I'm happy with how the management change has affected us so far, and I think it could be looking up. And then finally, obviously MMA, Stipe won, which is obviously what I was hoping for, because as much as I love DC, I feel like Stipe just wasn't getting enough respect after the fight. I mean, he got knocked out. It was a great, it was an incredible performance from Daniel Cormier to knock him out at the beginning. But in the second fight, after a rough start, he eventually just figured out, you know, leg kicks and body shots, and then eventually got a knockout. I was really happy for him, because everyone talks about how DC is one of the nicest guys in MMA, but let's be honest, so Stipe, when you can understand him, what he is saying is generally nice. I mean, like, for example, he went on the Joe Rogan podcast. I mean, I haven't listened to that in ages, but when I listened to the MMA ones, but when they did, he was on there, and he's basically just talking about, he's a family man, he loves his kids, loves his wife, he does MMA because he's good at it, and he gets him paid, but he still does the fireman stuff because he wants to help out, and he loves his family, and he wants to support them, and all that. He's just like a really decent guy. So I think he doesn't get enough recognition as a really, really nice guy. Definitely didn't get enough recognition as an incredible heavyweight fighter, and I think this will really help him out in terms of his legacy as, I think, the greatest heavyweight of all time. Everyone says, I think the most common answer is sort of prime Cain Velasquez. But the thing about prime Cain Velasquez, well, and the fact that his prime was so short, was also, as good as he was, it was mostly the intimidation thing. In the same way that, the way I see it, saying Cain Velasquez is the greatest heavyweight of all time is a bit like saying that Mike Tyson was the greatest heavyweight of all time. Which is, there's a case to be made. But a lot of his aura, actually, no, it'd be like saying Mike Tyson was the greatest heavyweight of all time if it was only his beginning run. If he retired after the Spinks fight. Right. If he retired after the Buster Douglas fight, right, and then everyone said he was the greatest heavyweight of all time, they would do that because he looked unstoppable until he was stopped, and he was terrifying, right? He was, and is, to be honest, one of the scariest fighters to ever do it, which is pretty impressive at 5'11", but he was. And I think it's the same thing with Cain Velasquez. Cain Velasquez was never a trash talker, really. He never went on the news and, like, lisped out trash talk, talking about he's here to kill, 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 and all that stuff. He never did any of that. He just had the sort of steely determination, and then the way he went about winning was brutal. He would take you down or stand up with you, and then he would just cut you to shreds, literally. I mean, that Bigfoot Silver fight, the one where, I can't remember if it's the first or second one, but the one where, the one with the blood, that is just, oh God, it is horrific. That is, I think, the second bloodiest fight I've ever seen in the UFC. First one would be Struve versus Stojnic, which is also one of my favourites. And then I think the bloodiest fight in MMA that I'm aware of is the Nicholas Albi versus Ross Houston one in Cage Warriors, when they actually had to stop the fight because he was too slippy on the canvas. That was mental. Also, probably not going to get a rematch of that for a while, because Dalby's just been re-signed to the UFC for UFC Copenhagen, I think. Which is real shame, actually, because I really want to see how that one turns out. But there you go. So that's my thoughts on sport of the world currently. In terms of Bernie Sanders, I think probably best choice in terms of who you've got. I don't know. I am aware of him. I'm aware of his policies. I think I'm aware of some of the stuff he says put up with. I do like him. I like a lot of the ideas he's got. I think, obviously, being someone who has spent their entire life having either completely covered or subsidized medical care, I'm aware of how incredible Medicare for All would be. And I think him trying to implement that is a brilliant idea. I think he's finally doing. I think he wants to make energy a public right, which I think is absolutely incredible, and you need to, and needs to be done. I think he's gonna try and do his best. I just don't know if, and this is no failing of himself, it's a failing of the system, it's the failing of how things are designed. I don't know if the people who are meant to represent the people are going to let him do that. I think realistically he's a socialist, and so you're going to have all the Republicans scream he's a socialist, and then you're going to get all these ridiculous images shared on r/TheDonald where they list King Leopold. They say, I saw this one, this was insane. It was the top four killers in history were all socialists, and then it lists Stalin. Case to be made from being a socialist, yeah. Also, the death toll they had for him was very relatively exaggerated by about 150%. Then you had Chairman Mao, again, yeah, all right. Then you had, I can't remember who the fourth one was. Then you had Hitler as the fourth one. Shouldn't have to say this. Hitler was not a socialist, right? His party said they were socialist Sorry, my fucking cat. Sorry, his party said they were socialist because it was a nice word for them to use to get elected. And then they got elected and they decided just to keep it around because it disguised the fact that there wasn't a single action they were taking that was socialist. Also, the banning guns thing. Maybe look that up before saying Hitler banned guns and that's why we need guns. Anyway, there was that. And then King Leopold II. King Leopold II, that's right. The socialist monarch who was not a socialist in any way, shape or form, and also murdered 10 million people in the Congo through incompetence. But yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. But it's that kind of idea, that kind of hysteria around the word socialist, which I think will probably prevent Bernie from getting much done. But I think out of everyone, I mean, I'm not going to go into the Republican nominees because, oh my, Jesus Christ, I don't have the time. But in terms of Democratic nominees, Elizabeth Warren is all right. But I think, I'm not sure if she'll be able to get the support. Hillary Clinton's apparently trying to get back in the race. Terrible idea. Kamala Harris, not quite as bad as Hillary, but not far off either. Joe Biden is the worst of the bunch, for sure. I mean, have you seen the stuff he's been doing on the campaign trail at the moment? I think poor kids are just as smart as white kids. Asian kids, rich kids. That was insane. Everything is about him is terrible. He's a Republican, really. Anyway, enough about all that. But yeah, I like Bernie Sanders a lot. I think out of everyone who is being nominated, he's the best one. And also, I listened to the other question that was posed. The other question was, what were my thoughts on Andrew Yang? And I think there's some good stuff and some bad stuff with Andrew Yang. I think universal basic income is not necessarily a bad idea if it's correctly implemented, but the emphasis there is on it being correctly implemented. And if you can do that, that'd be great. Yeah. I mean, the problem with the wanting to get the Early Act in, that's a good thing. That's something that needs to be done in general, right? The issue with it is it's another one of those sort of slightly disingenuous things that politicians will do. They're like, they'll help you, they'll do something that appeals to a specific group of fans. Like, there's a good chance he's actually is an MMA fan, but he's definitely aware that him publicly speaking about how he likes MMA is really good for him, because then you have fans of MMA who'll be more likely to support him and will know who he is. And when people go, oh, what do you think about the presidential race? They'll think, hang on, who do I know? Well, I know Andrew Yang. Yeah, he's been talking about MMA. I like MMA. Look, the Early Act is good. Universal basic income could be good. Some of the other stuff he's been working with, I'm less of a fan of. I don't really like his tactics overall. But I mean, let's be honest, out of the whole crop of people who could be going in, there are definitely worse picks. But yeah, if I had the ability to vote for someone in the US, I would personally vote for Bernie Sanders. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's my thoughts and everything. I'll try and talk about sports a bit more, and also the other thing is, thank you for the complimenting the music stuff, and I will check out the I'll check out your recommendation. Yeah, well, that will do it for this. Have some more music, I guess.